We have our very first guest up today. And right, I've just got to make sure that I've got it all going here.
And I'm on.
And it's Di from the library. Welcome, Di.
Good morning.
Good to see you. I haven't talked to you for a long time.
No, we haven't. Our schedule's every third Saturday, so we get a variety of DJs to talk to.
Yeah, good one. So what's happening at the library at the moment?
Well, last night we had a big celebration over at the incubator studio. Because now we look out of our library window and all of the studios are empty across the other side. So the tenants have been busy, clearing out and finishing today. So it's going to be quite a different energy now in that whole area because there's going to be nothing there apart from us, on that ground floor, us and the theatre. So, but it is a good sign as well because it means things are happening.
Absolutely. And now that we've got the extra funding for the library, that's brilliant news, isn't it?
So, that's where I get my news mostly from is their local paper. I don't know anything before that. But, the tenders are going out, so that's exciting.
It is, And just to sidetrack a wee bit, the design, has that been finalised?
Yes, definitely, and ready to go out to tenders. So we're really pleased with the design. I went over to Mount Ross School a couple of weeks ago, and they haven't got a completely new building like us, but the whole interior of their site was completely revamped and upgraded and recarpeted and redesigned and everything, and I thought, I think I like ours better.
Well, that's good. And it has changed from the one that was originally publicised, hasn't it? Because there was a bit of flack about that.
Well, there was the two-storied, council service centre joining us back. How many years ago was that? 3 years ago, maybe now. And now it's just a single story. I'm sort of quite excited about the library, and because it's going to be quite a way into the courtyard actually, and it's going to be quite a good vibe because the back of the library, which sort of faces the theatre, is a beautiful, wide, long areas of glass out into a courtyard, stepped up to the back of that section. So it's going to be a really nice social area.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. But, we've got a little way to go yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So have we got a rough idea of when it's likely to be finished?
Well, they say July 2013, but, these projects get waylaid.
Well, it depends on weather and things.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be built over two winters, so almost. So it could well be a little bit longer than that.
That's just over a year.
Right. So we'll see how we go.
Excellent.
Today we've got an activity, though, in the library. It's Worldwide Knit in Public Day today. All over the world. There's events all over the world. And so they say by getting together, by stitching together, brings people together. And so anyway, Hilary Kerrod, of course, a well-known local spinner and weaver and knitter, extraordinaire, I must say, she and her Catherine Mitchell Centre spinners and weavers and knitters are all going to be coming into the library and knitting in public down the back in the children's area. So anybody is welcome to come along if you want to learn to knit or have a turn at knitting or bring your knitting. Come along and join in and just sort of chit-chat and be a knitting group. Be a knitting groupie.
Why not? That's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, so and in the glass cabinet we have beautiful, beautiful examples of articles knitted by that group, and there's hand-spun wools of different sorts. There's a tea cosy and socks, and there's a penguin jacket if anyone's got a pet penguin. But it's to raise funds for they need a new carder, so they're raising funds for that. So if you're coming in and you like something in the glass cabinet, it's there to buy.
That's great. These are things that have all been done by the knitters.
Yes. And they've donated them to the group so that they can raise money for a carder. Worldwide Knit in Public Day. And actually there are events, knitting sort of events all around the island because it does last a week.
Okay.
And I think Cheryl has you know, got various things going on around the island, and I think we might be number one. So
great,
yeah. And I've got a lovely display of knitting books and more really cool knitting books coming over. It's a real, all of that, you know, the crochet, the knitting, the handwork, the beadwork, a huge growth in that, you know, people kind of doing, going back to arts and crafts.
Mm.
And our collection buying is reflecting that. You know, we've just lots and lots of new books on knitting and socks and, yeah, you
name
it.
Handcrafts.
Oh, yeah, sewing, masses of sewing. And yeah, so it is good, I think.
It is indeed.
Yeah, get people using their hands again.
So what's the time frame for this today?
For the knitting, just this morning, you know, like 10 o'clock or something. Well, yeah, just from now on, really, just for an hour or so this morning. It might be. The spinners and weavers will just probably come in when it suits their morning. So just during this morning till probably 12 o'clock.
10 till 12.
Yeah, that
sounds brilliant.
That's right.
Yeah, well, it's a good day for it because it's supposed to be a bit showery today.
Yeah, it started off nice and it teased us a little bit.
It did indeed.
And so the other thing that we had a visit from a team in Auckland yesterday. It's called, you know, the RFID team, and that is all about this huge collection of material being barcoded, but it's called tagging, and we've got this automatic issue system and return system where you don't have to, you know, check every barcode. You just put your stack of books on this desk thing, and it just reads all through the whole pile.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I know, it's amazing.
Incredible.
So some of the system is already done because that's how they were before they joined us as Auckland Council. But there's 23 libraries that every tens of thousands of barcodes have to be redone and retagged with that, you know, with which the machine will read. So you also can return your books yourself as well. And, of course, the new library will have all of this, but actually we're getting it before that. And within the next, I don't know, it's not too far away, within weeks, we'll be RFID'd, and there'll be a different way to issue and return your books.
What does RFI mean?
Yes, exactly. Well, F is for frequency.
right.
R might be for remote, I'm not sure.
And I would be index?
And ID, I might be identity or something.
Oh, index?
Yeah. No, it's not
who
index.
Knows?
Anyway,
index, right.
But it's just, you know, you get all these codes, you just go, RFID, we've been hearing that word for a long time.
Maybe we should put it out there to our listeners. The one person that comes up with the most creative idea as to what RFI stands for gets a chocolate fish.
Yeah, RFID it is.
RFID.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, and a book. Have you read anything lately, Jane?
I have, actually, and I've got it in my bag to bring back to the library.
And what have you read?
It was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh!
I finally got around to reading it.
You're reading the first one.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was extremely well written and a very good read. You know, sort of kept you on the edge of your seat to the end.
Yes. And it's one book, because they're quite big, you know, but people would buy them to travel with on aeroplanes, because normally people's thing about travel, I've got to take a small book, you know, but when that one came out, it was like, I don't care, I am reading this big book. And I went tramping for 4 days, and both my husband and I were on different volumes, and we both carried these big books around for 4 days. We couldn't let them go.
Well, I'm a fairly slow reader, and the only time I really get to read is on the weekend.
Yes.
But, you know, I cleared on 2 weekends.
Yeah, I got through it really quickly.
And I'm hoping you've got volume 2 down there at the moment.
Yes, actually, what's interesting, because there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on the waiting list, and you're now, you know, all that's gone, and they're even sitting on the shelf, so I think the next 2 volumes are there.
Oh, wow.
They were late yesterday. When I go back, I'll nab them for you, shall I?
I'll be coming in at the end of my shift. One, because I won't get them both done in the time frame. But
did you watch the movie?
No. And I don't think I'd like to.
Yeah, of course, the books. I mean, there's so much in the book that the movie, it's impossible for the movie to cover everything. So,
but I think it'd be a little bit too gruesome. I don't know.
Yeah, parts of it are. Yeah, it is pretty full on, isn't it? But people, there's only been all the thousands that have read it over the counter. There've been only one or two that have said, "Oh, I didn't really like that. What was all the fuss?"
Right. Mm. Yeah. Well, I must admit, I wasn't overwhelmed by the by the violence in it. I was told it was a very violent book, and I didn't. That didn't come across to me because it's done gradually.
Yes,
you know, it's not sort of full on.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I didn't think it was. Mm-mm. So yeah, I'm looking forward to volume two. So
yes.
What are the things that are flying out the door at the moment?
Lots and lots of. Lots of arts and crafts books. I mean, it's just people are bringing over all that interior stuff, all the handwork stuff, you know. And there are, and then people who are going more in depth into a subject, because we're this huge system now, and it's and the holds are free. If people want to sort of, you know, be more specialist in their reading, there's just so much opportunity now to get almost. You know, if you're going to want a particular book, we're probably going to have it. And if we don't, you know, the interloan system, where the interloans librarian in the city will get it for you. And that used to be $10, and now it's only $5.
Wow.
And so you can get a book coming up from Invercargill, Christchurch, National Library. It could be at Palmerston North, just depends where it is. And, it, you know, you've got it within a week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah, so we do, yeah, I am finding that there's a lot more. Yeah, what I would call quite dry.
Yes.
But people are studying or they're interested in a particular topic. And it does fill up our shelves because usually it means that that book will stay at our site.
Mm.
But we've only got such limited space, we often have to send them back.
Right. Mm. And, of course, now that we've got into winter, are the winter cookbooks going out and the slow cooking
actually,
and all that
stuff? Yes, yes, that was interesting because yesterday a whole bunch of them came in, the crock pot, the slow, you know, the slow cooker, stews. I was sort of shelled about 5 or 6 of those yesterday and I thought, oh, yes, that's the season, soups, you know, but you name it, we've got it really. Yeah,
that's
so good. What I read, must have been a month ago, I read My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolton Taylor. Have you read that?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's a book for the last 5 years. People have said that was amazing. It's a non-fiction, and it's this Jill Bolton Taylor, Bolter Taylor. She had a stroke at the age of 37 and was completely, her whole, like the left-hand side of her brain was affected. And she was a brain anatomist. So, you know, a brain scientist. So she found this whole journey fascinating. I mean, she was very, very, it was a big, you know, it was more, not just a little stroke, it was pretty full on. And she had to have an operation a couple of weeks later to, you know, take away the pressure. But 8 years later, during that journey of 8 years, she had completely and utterly cured herself because she knew the science and she knew what to do. Of course, she had an amazing support. Her mother came and lived with her, and her mother was a mathematician. So her mother would never ask her yes and no questions. It was always going to be, she would always give her choices. So she had to think, and she had to, and she'd think. And then there'd be nothing there, and she'd just have to keep thinking until just getting a little nerve synapses going, you know. And she kind of was just making herself work these areas in her brain. Really fascinating. And then, and also, how do you care for a stroke patient? Because she was quite shocked about how she was looked after in hospital. They didn't seem to realise how a stroke person feels, or how sense, because every sense that you have. The thing, you know, the skin and the hearing and the smell, you're hypersensitive, and they would be noisy and rough. And the thing she appreciated much was just the very, very soft voice and the very, very soft touch. So that was really
so. What was the name of that book?
My Stroke of Insight.
Right.
And there's a subtitle about my journey with, you know, a stroke or whatever.
Right.
But then what happened, because she was a left brain person, you know, intellectual, obviously a brain scientist, what happened was she had to start using her right side of the brain. Well, that was a huge blessing and gift that she received from her learnings, that actually our left brain in society is acknowledged. You know, we get certificates and we get degrees and it's all lovely when, you know, so-and-so's really intelligent, blah, blah, blah. But she realises that actually the right-hand side of the brain, we don't tend to celebrate that, or it's not so accepted somehow. So, she, of course, she had to start using her right side of the brain. So the last third of the book, although I did read it in the car via audio, the last third of the book is acknowledging that, you know, the right side of the brain and the connection between the two. And so I finished that book going, wow, this is amazing. And also that every counsellor should read this book, every doctor, every nurse, every anybody actually. You just learn so much about the the brain as a being, and the connection between the spirit and the soul, because she was just became really in touch with herself and her inner being, you know. So highly recommended. Actually, I was speaking to a counsellor a few weeks ago and said, you know, you need to read this book, because it really gives you another understanding of another area of understanding in the whole human psyche and how the brain is developed. Because she says you can have a response, say if you're really terrified, something happens and you're going into a moment of terror, your body physiologically, you know, via the brain, 90 seconds it can it responds, the body's actually finished with that response in 90 seconds, and then you as a person can choose whether you're going to carry on that feeling or whether you're going to drop it. And I go, wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we're talking to Di from the Waiheke Library, and she's just been telling us about this amazing book, and it's called
My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolter Taylor.
Right, who she was a...
Yeah, brain anatomist, brain...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So she was a brain scientist, basically.
Right. And she had a major stroke,
at
and she's
37.
Written this book about her experiences. Yeah. It sounds brilliant. I think I actually heard her interviewed... Maybe by Kim Hill.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, she's got a very recognisable voice. And, of course, she's got a website. And if anybody wants to follow her, you could always go to her website. So, yeah, excellent. Very inspiring piece of reading, if anybody else, because everybody said how good it was and I finally got around to it.
Right, excellent.
Yeah, so there you go. I think that's enough on the library.
Right, the Waiheke Library has lots of inspiring things, from knitting and weaving and crock pot cooking through to brain damage. So everything in between.
That's right.
So so go into your local library, and today would be a great day to go and get a couple of books out, because the weather forecast for tomorrow is still for showers and southwesterly, so it's going to be a bit chilly, and it'd be a good day to sit in with a good book.
That's right. Come in and bring your knitting needles and your knitting projects and join all the other people who are knitting.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming in, Di. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, Jane.
Okay,
kia ora.